first, I have to say the presentation was supposed to be done by two people, not just me. Christian Driga was the other person listed in the program. He wasn't able to make it to the conference, so I will be the only one doing this presentation. The second disclaimer I want to make is, if you want to see and read everything what's on the slides, because it contains a lot of data, maybe boring data, you should be sitting not too far in the back. I think most slides are okay, but there might be a few slides where it's a little bit small, the writing, so just to give you an advance warning. So when I had to submit the paper, I was thinking about this somewhat strange title, which makes people look at least twice at the session and the description. So this movie, What Women Want, came to my mind when I thought about what I'm presenting here, which is data about the community, about both open source users as well as open source developers. And so that's how I came to this title. So my name is, as you can see there, Erwin Tenenberg. I work at Sun Microsystems. I do community management or community development and marketing for OpenOffice.org, StarOffice. And I'm now a member of the open source group at Sun under Simon Phipps, which is a group that is a resource within Sun for anything that is open source related, I would say. So we, the members of this team are actively involved in different open source projects. What we're about today is OpenOffice.org developer service that we have done, OpenOffice.org user service that we have done, and I also want to provide some information about user feedback that we have received by the service, the user survey, which potentially could be used and turned into a resource for developers, namely some kind of to-do list, which doesn't really exist today. We have created various to-do lists in the past, for example, for Google Summer of Code. But I think more could be done there, because that is one of the criticisms that shows up in the developer survey. So one thing that actually not I have done, but mainly Stefan Taxel and from Sun Microsystems and Kai Bachmann from Google, was they did an ad hoc developer survey here at the conference. And they asked 25 participants what their top three issues are at the moment with respect to contributing to OpenOffice.org. And number one, according to their analysis, was build system pains, anything related to the build system. Number two, everything related to modularization, refactoring, cleanup of the code. Anybody or all the people who have seen the presentation about the roadmap by Michael Bemmer yesterday will still have this picture in mind, where with the, I don't know, the spider web more or less of code dependencies. So that is what's meant there. And then the overall specification process and code review. So some things are probably not optimal, a few things are not documented very well, other things are not perfectly understood, so that's another issue. So the three ones I just mentioned are clearly the top three, but a few others were mentioned in this ad hoc survey as well. So community management and process, anything around related to that, the translation process and localization process, then development docs, any kind of developer documentation, anything that is UI related, so doing UI changes is apparently not trivial. And summarized it in some fashion by saying that there should be a higher focus on actual user satisfaction, user needs, which is a good connection between the developer service that we have done, developer data, and the user data that I'm showing later. In addition to this ad hoc survey that was done here at the conference, we recently did an online open source contributor survey, where we also mainly wanted to get the feedback from code contributors, because we wanted to find out what their issues are so that we can get that fixed with it, especially within Sun, to make it easier for developers to join the community, to help with the development and participate in the development. And so, as I said, it was focused mainly on developers, and therefore it was mainly promoted on the developer mailing list. And 30 people participated in this survey. And interestingly, here's a screenshot from the survey. So most people who participated, for example, 24, have actually contributed code. So the people who have participated in this survey should know what they are talking about, and many have also submitted, nine people have submitted source code, and others have submitted bug reports and documentation as well. So one of the questions was, or two questions were very similar to the ad hoc server here at the conference. So one question was, what do you like most about openauth.org? And we started the survey with that question on purpose, and the second one, which is what things do we find most annoying on openauth.org from a developer perspective, because we did not want to, what should I say, prime the people participating in the server with things like, multiple choice questions where they make up their mind and, I don't know, are presented a lot of negative things, and then they have to present what they like or dislike. So we asked this question at the beginning, and so what they really like is the high visibility of the project. So people developing for openauth.org like the fact that it's used by many people, supported and by a large number of companies, that it has a growing market share, that it is end-user software which is can be used by anybody on the street, including, I don't know, your mom, dad, grandparents, whoever. So that is very attractive to the developers. The other thing they really like is the developer experience. So meeting other people, talking to other people, doing global development across the continents. And one thing that was explicitly mentioned there, actually a few times, was this event, the openauth.org conference, where people get a chance to get together and exchange ideas, discuss new things. And thirdly, the technology exposure. So for many co-contributors, it's interesting to learn new skills, get exposed to new technology. And one technology that they especially found interesting, that from my point of view stood out, was the UNO infrastructure or UNO framework, which is something unique to openauth.org. I mean, programming language are relevant in this context as well, but UNO was explicitly mentioned. So what three things do they find most annoying, again, from a developer perspective? And it's very similar to what we just saw from the ad hoc survey. So the bug fix inclusion process, which means inclusion of bugs, just take too long, the process is complicated, sometimes not well understood, and so on. The overall code complexity, so openauth.org is still a huge monolithic application with lots of dependencies, and people struggle with that. Related to that is lack of documentation. So if something is confusing, then documentation can help, but that also doesn't really exist or is not in a state where it's really usable enough or where it helps them. The build system is problematic because building openauth.org just takes too long, or people find it confusing how this build system is set up. It takes too long to actually get started. And quite a few sessions at the conference are about this issue and some of the others to get the message across and get people informed about what's going on, what can be improved. And lastly, the project infrastructure. So we had a few performance and reliability issues in the past, and there are still some features missing in the with the infrastructure, and that was also one of the complaints. And these five, I mean, these are not three as asked for in the question, but these are the five that stood out. Just a slide, which is related to what Michael Bemmer just yesterday also mentioned in the roadmap presentation. So the patch process was one of the criticisms, and one thing that we have started doing at Sun and together with the community is tracking how quickly we respond to patches that come in. So we track the initial response time, and it was very high. This has been going down quite significantly. So how quickly we initially react. And also this issue inactivity time, how long issues are not looked at, and that also has gone down, and we're trying to keep that down. So the user survey, or the developer survey data, is very useful because it helps, for example, companies like Sun to focus on what the key issues are for with respect to developing for openauth.org. Another question, sorry for the small writing, but that is... that shows the data for another question, which is what are the motivating factors for participating in an open source project? And the suggested answers were taken from another survey done by, I think, a university about open source development, and that's how we actually came up with the idea of doing this survey. And so we first ask, okay, what kind of what motivates you to contribute to open source in general and just read? If you make money, think that software should not be a proprietary good, limit the power of large software companies, solve a problem that could not be solved by proprietary software, and so on. And then we ask, how does open source rank compared to that? So if then you compare the two numbers, or then two different ways how we can look at the numbers. So one way is to go back 1 second to say, okay, the upper one shows the expectation, and the lower one shows what they actually think or what their perception of open source is. So the difference might have some message. The other way to look at it is to see, okay, the upper number is a ranking, so you have to say 3.6 divided by 10, for example, because 10 was the maximum number, and then multiply that with the difference of the maximum, which is 10 and 3.7 from the first one. There were two approaches that we thought would be valid for in analyzing this data. There are probably even more, but then we should look at if there are some similarities. And so the more negative it is, the numbers are, the worse it is, and the higher the numbers are, so probably or possibly positive, the better the numbers are. So the two things that really, two things that stand out under both analysis systems, if you take just the difference or this kind of weighted system, are on the negative side, improve open source free software products of other developers, so people actually want to improve the software, and that is one of the motivation. And very related to that, add a desired functionality, so they have something that they want to get into the code, which they can't get done. And that's something where people really care about where open source is not perfect. What works pretty well on the motivator side is, according to the survey, getting a reputation in open source development, which is probably related to the fact that, as mentioned in the beginning or earlier, people really like about open source that it's a project that everybody knows, or at least many people know, that it has a high visibility, broadly supported by large corporations, whatever. And so if you can say, I've developed feature X, Y, Z for openops.org, then this is something significant in your resume or wherever, and that is something people think worked well. We asked a similar question about influencing factors, and again, these ideas were taken from the survey that we had that had been done somewhere else. So their influencing factors are things like modularity, documentation, release management, collaboration platforms, physical meetings, existence of a foundation, internationalization, feature and code quality, design of the user interface, ease of installation, communication channels, community structure, existence of tasks, to-do lists, copyright ownership, licensing. And if we apply the analysis again, and the things that stand out more on the negative side are things like modularity, documentation, design of the user interface, and existence of tasks and to-do lists, where people easily, developers can easily get started and involved in the project so that they know what they can start with. And this is very much in line with what this ad hoc survey here at the conference showed, so which is good, so we know what we have to focus on to at least reduce the largest pain from a developer point of view. What currently works relatively well is internationalization, which is probably reflected in the fact that openauth.org has been localized to how many languages? I think it's far beyond 90 languages. And I mean, Sun is just doing how many, 15, 16, I'm not sure how many we are currently involved in, but the large number of localizations of openauth.org are done by community members or people not working for Sun or Novell or someone else. So that's probably very much in line with this idea. Just one slide or one data point from another developer survey that we did a while ago, and which also ended a while ago, where we just asked, okay, what kind of user or developer are you? Are you just a single user slash developer at home who just likes code a bit, or are you an enterprise developer, ISV, so an independent software vendor, a system integrator, an actual code contributor or something else or something which is not applicable. As you can see, the user and enterprise numbers are the highest in ISV. So user, enterprise, ISV take up 3/4, so 75%.
Does I stands for?
System integrators.
Okay.
By the way, you probably might have, especially with the user data that I show a little bit later, many questions about, okay, what about this or that? There are many ways how we can slice and dice some of the data that we still have. And I'm very interested in your ideas, what might be interesting to do as a deep dive into this data. However, we probably should discuss that in the end. And also, if you have anything, write it down and just send it to me in an email, because with a lot of the data, I will do a deep dive going forward. However, that is sometimes a time and database problem. Yes, sure. They will be published shortly. Okay, open up our user survey, actually. So, which leads me already to the user survey. The user survey started in on the 20th of October last year at the launch of OpenOSR 2.0. Unfortunately, it's only available in English. And I mean, with the very first user survey that we had a few other languages as available as well. So with the follow-up release of this user survey or the next version of the user survey, we probably should fix that again and get more languages included, because not everybody likes to fill out or can actually fill out a survey in English. But still, some data is very interesting and amazing from my point of view, considering that it is English, especially for countries like Brazil or so. People get to this or to this user survey via the registration dialog in OpenOSR.org. Currently, about 2,000 people participate every day, so a lot of data is coming together. So we have more than 900,000 participants so far, which has become a problem because the database has become so slow because of all the data that we have to do a revision of this data survey anyway. And the other problem is that analyzing the data, it has become very problematic because some of the reports don't run anymore or not efficient. So I have to become a bit creative to do the deep dive and to do some slicing and dicing of that data, depending on what kind of questions we might have or that you can come up with. One problem is, at least from my point of view with user survey data, that quite a few Linux distributions have switched off this mechanism of this registration dialog or point to a different site, which means that a lot of this data is just Windows-based and doesn't include the Linux-based feedback. So just one chart that shows how many people participated every month. So in general, you can say more than 2,000. We have more than 2,000 participants per day. Right after the launch, it was higher. Then you see that dropped down quite a bit. That was actually a longer outage, which did not. So we didn't notice it immediately because of web form. Everything seemed to work, but nothing was added to the database. So we just found out when we ran some reports against it, wait a minute, something is wrong. So it didn't get updated. So a little bit of data got lost there, but with more than 900,000 participants, that's, at least from a data point of view, not such a huge issue. So one of the questions was, and this is one of the first questions, is this the first time you're completing an open source registration survey? And as you can see, 80% say, yes, this is the first time I take a registration survey. So people who have never filled out any of the previous surveys or anything. The next number might be even more interesting, that on average across all these submissions, about more than 60% are completely new users, not people that have used OpenOSR.org before or anything. So 60% are just completely new users. It's also quite interesting that 10%, you can say about 20% have been using OpenOSR.org for more than a year and then filled out the survey. How people find out about OpenOSR.org. I think this data is also very interesting because, the highest number is someone recommended it to me with 43%. That's very obvious because, yeah, word of mouth is very common in open source. You share software and talk about it. I found it very interesting that, according to the survey, 34% actually found out about open source by reading about open source. And as you can see below, there is also an item saying, I found it on the website, open source website, or found, got there through a web search. So reading about it means they some article or whatever. So I think this reflects how much OpenOSORG and also the open document format together with OpenOSORG are mentioned in the press nowadays via reviews and any kind of news around OpenOSORG, which is also the result of the work of many of the native language projects, which help to issue press releases and so on. OpenOSORG distribution acquisition. So as I mentioned, this link to the registration survey or user survey from this registration dialog has been or is deactivated or removed from some of the Linux distros. So there is one item bundled together with my operating system. That number most likely would be much higher. So here it's just 1.27%. So I guess the number is in reality much higher, but we just can't track them. Unless they download it from the main website and install it on their Linux system. But the majority of the people are getting OpenOSORG from the main website, according to the survey, with about 70%. Followed by, as you can see, about 12% from mirrors and 7% by magazine CDs. Which is also interesting that quite a few magazines are shipping OpenOSORG on their CDs. This is a slide where I, for example, definitely want to do a deep dive and see how this evolved over different months. But you can still see that most of the users are using some version of OpenOSORG 2.0 with about more than 80%, around 80%. The number's probably higher. And as I said, this server was launched directly at the launch of OpenOSORG 2.0. And I guess the numbers from the last month will show that just only 2.0 based versions are used. Platform importance, that's another thing where it's important to remember that in Linux distros, this mechanism or this referral to the survey often doesn't exist or work. So according to user survey data, 80% of the users are using it on Windows XP and a few other, together with the other Windows flavors, about 90% almost. So it's still interesting to see that Linux has such a high share, but yeah, you have to keep in mind that Linux is not well included in this. What I found very interesting is this data, OpenOSORG users by country. So one of the questions, what country do you live in? And so there are the regular suspects. You can argue about the order, but United States, Germany, France. But I found it interesting that you very quickly get to countries like Brazil or, I don't know, Poland, Norway, smaller countries there, Switzerland. I found that very interesting, especially Brazil. I think it's interesting because, as I said, this survey is in English, and I don't know how well everybody in Brazil speaks English, but I would expect that, or I don't know, in France and everything, how comfortable people are with filling something out in English, or Germany for that matter. So I guess those numbers would be even higher if we would provide these surveys also in the local languages. Yes?
Did you try to compare these statistics with download and in this particular
one? No. You mean the downloads by country or what?
Yeah.
The problem with downloads by country is that just Brazil is a great example. They have their own download site and do a lot of things locally, which is hard to track. So it would be interesting, but it's not that easy to gather. One thing I'm even more interested in, and where I might need the help from the native language community within OpenOSORG, is to get good data about how many people, or what is the percentage of users that actually have access to a computer in different countries? How many people do have access to internet? Because this is a web-based form. So we see that high number for Brazil, but you have to remember that only a few people, or what should I say, a much lower percentage of people have access to a computer. So the actual market share, based on the number of computers that are there installed, are be much higher. So it's, I think it's quite interesting. Sure, yeah. Yeah, so the comment was that, it's both access to computer and also access to web because of the downloads, because people have to get to the software. This is, we should say, very related data. There we ask, okay, in what language will you mainly use or work when you're using open source.org? Again, I mean, English is not a surprise. German, French. I mean, I found it interesting that, for example, Netherlands is relatively high there, high up there, and also, again, Brazilian, Portuguese, and some other languages. So, therefore, I definitely want to drill down into this and do some kind of deep dive into the data that exists and also with future surveys to get more data about what's going on in some of these countries, because it looks like they have very strong communities in some cases. We actually don't know enough about it, about them, I think. Another question is primary use of openoffice.org. So home, work, university, school, that were the provided answers, and we asked primarily. So would you, where do you mainly use openoffice.org? So 75% are using it at home. But I still find it interesting that about 90% are saying they're using it at work. So quite a significant number is actually using openoffice.org at work. The number at school is very low in Oxford University. I mean, university and school together are just, I don't know, 5.6%. So probably that is higher, or at least could be higher. This is a slide where I definitely have to do a deep dive, because the key issue is here, we should ask, okay, what industry or vertical does your organization belong to? If you are using openoffice.org in a business context, that is some kind of question up front, so I have to mention that the survey is organized in a way that this question is only asked to people who are using open source for business purposes. At least only those people are supposed to answer this question. And unfortunately, the highest number on this slide was 23%, or a bit more than 23%, is other. So they somehow didn't find themselves in here. So they were able to provide an answer there, but with the 900,000 submissions, I now have to become creative to get you the data, and it's also not easy to run those reports to get the data, so I have to become a bit creative there. Nevertheless, some of the other numbers are still interesting, so IT, software, hardware services with 90%, education research with about 14%, and then manufacturing, government, healthcare, following their financial services. So if you look at some of the larger deployments, that is not so much a surprise to me, because we know about many government deployments, and probably not many of them are not reflected in this one. I know about quite a few deployments in insurance companies, which belong to the financial area, which is not a surprise. Also manufacturing companies, there are quite a few that are using it. And especially manufacturing companies, open source is often used in engineering departments where they have Linux workstations for CAD or computer aided design or something like that, or Unix workstation, and where they run openoffice.org as an office suite. Company sizes, just across the board, so I mean, it's no surprise that about 50% are just, I don't know, companies with 1 to 9 people. You can argue if the sizes that were provided are the best. Also the best options, but still, so about 50%, 1 to 9 people or employees, 10 to 99, 70.5%, and 100 to 999, still around 10%. So I think it's quite interesting that apparently open source is used really across the board, very large companies, very small companies, and so that is also an area where probably it would make sense to drill down even further and see what kind of company sales are, and also see, okay, do all the large companies, for example, belong to one specific industry, or Is there a specific pattern about, for example, I think that the next question, this one, yes. Switch slash migration rate. What is the percentage of those users that have already switched to OpenOffice or within the company? So based on the estimation of the person who filled out the survey. Interestingly, some people apparently are using the Office suite, although it's not really rolled out within the software company because they say it's still 0% with 90.5%. So that's a bit strange because, as I said, the question was asked in an area of the survey where only those people should respond that are using OpenOffice in a business context. So Mona has to question what exactly that means. But still, there are all kinds of deployment ratios there, with 1 to 9% that being the highest. There's probably just one or two people using OpenOffice somewhere. But there are also quite a few. I mean, the percentage is maybe less significant here, but if you look at, for example, 5,600 people who said 80 to 99%, or 90,318 people saying 100%, that is quite significant, I would say. Feature importance, yeah, mainly we ask the question like, okay, what do you typically do, or frequently do at least once per month? Create and modify text documents, create macros, create templates for different document types and so on. And it's, from my point of view, it's not really a surprise to see that, for example, text documents are more important than spreadsheet documents, or are more used than spreadsheet documents and presentation documents, that many people don't create macros themselves or complex databases themselves. So it's not that surprising, I would say. Opportunities for complementary products. So one question we ask is, what else would you like to learn about? So as you can see, 24% of the people would like to learn more about books related to OpenOffice.org, and I see some authors of books here in this room, so hopefully that reflects the reality, and they see this in their, which is their own life and their business, and actually can sell a few of those. Database tools, probably that has to deal with the fact that the database component within OpenOffice.org is still not perfect, so there are probably many people looking for better solutions there. OpenOffice.org training, support, and so on. Okay, this I think is a very interesting slide, especially if you look back to my first slide, which is about contributing code and everything. So one of the questions is, would you be interested in contributing to OpenOffice.org? If yes, what would you mainly want to do? So about 70%, I mean 69, but yeah, close to 70% say, no, I'm not interested. And I think it would be great if we could achieve to get this number down so that more people who are using OpenOffice are also contributing in some fashion so that everybody benefits from that. So I think that would be an interesting goal. Yes. The next item, help with QA and testing, with 11%, is the highest number. And I think a lot of very good and things are going on there from which the OpenOffice community has benefited so far. So a lot of community efforts going on there, a lot of support there. The next one is create and distribute CDs for promotional purposes. Donate money is very high, so maybe we also should leverage that even further. So Louis presented some ideas in his BOF the other day, so why not do that? If people want to do that, we shouldn't stop them from doing that. Translate documentation. Do marketing, so you see the numbers, those are lower. But as I said, for me, the most important ones, I would say the top two, because the first one, I think, is something that we could all work on, so to turn more users into contributors in some way. And then I find it very interesting and nice to see that the QA work is something that many people want to participate in, and there, that is an area where we see a lot of going on. So what users want, what developers could look at, so there are some questions. We did a survey independent of the ongoing user survey where we send a URL to people who subscribe to the announcement list, and at that point close to 35,000 people were subscribed to the announcement list, and asked them for different questions. And one of the things was, okay, what are the top things that you would like to see being added to openoffs.org, or added or improved in openoffs.org? And so the things that were mentioned most often are Microsoft interoperability, and including macro support, Microsoft Access clone / alternative, so better database support, performance and stability, group by client, and if you attended the roadmap presentation yesterday, that those are one of the areas, or two of the areas, that we are really focusing on to improve the performance and stability, and also working on a group by client. More dictionaries, spell checking, grammar checking, I think that has improved quite significantly as well over the time, especially through all the community work. A Mac version, and there are different efforts going on there. And now that the Aqua version is approaching, I would say, that also becomes a real solution. Modern UI, better PDF support, I would say, both export, import, auto update, and so on. In the ongoing user survey, we asked three different questions. One is, what are the top barriers for businesses? And actually, I made a mistake. I just realized it, because these are more or less in the order of priority, or in the order of the number of votes or of mentioning. So it should have 1, 2, 3 or something in the front instead of bullets. So again, Microsoft compatibility, including round trips, so saving and loading documents all the time, exchanging them between Microsoft Office and OpenOffice is an issue. I found it really interesting to see the second point being the second one, inertia. So in many places, which means people are just afraid of using something that they don't know. On the one hand, it's not really a surprise, but I mean, we all talk a lot about features and functionality, and this just shows that many people are just afraid. They just want to see other people or hear that other people have done it without problems. They want to see success stories, reference stories, whatever. And it's just afraid, so it's more a psychological problem. Existing vendor relationships, they already have bought a lot of things from this one vendor and have existing licenses and everything, and so therefore they do not want change. They are afraid of training costs and all these kind of things. And yeah, visibility of OpenOffice.org, so there's still many people who have never heard about OpenOffice.org. So these are all key issues there. I don't want to read them all, but they are actually in the order more or less of how they were mentioned, or how often they were mentioned. Top annoyances from a user point of view, again, Microsoft Office compatibility is an issue, or has been an issue. I mean, OpenOffice has improved quite a lot, but there are still areas where we can make further improvements. Startup performance and general performance, and as was mentioned yesterday in the roadmap presentation, since OpenOffice 2.0, the very first release, and now there have already been significant performance improvements, and more are supposed to come. Ease of use, stability. So stability has improved quite a bit over time as well, but still things can improve there. And things like, yeah, memory usage, macro recorder. Oh, yeah, here it goes on. This is a little bit more feature specific. Things like mail merge is still a bit confusing. The database functionality related to Microsoft Access import support and support. The chart functionality, and the chart functionality will be improved with a new chart engine. So that's also being addressed at the moment, and a few other things here. Things that should be added. Again, improved compatibility, Outlook alternative, which is also really interoperability and being able to easily migrate away from Microsoft Office. Interesting things like PDF import, VBA macro migration conversion, the HTML support. Again, people apparently really like the PDF feature in OpenOffice, but they just want to see more the security feature of PDF, import, export, anything around PDF. Interestingly, photo editing is mentioned quite a bit, so they would like to see the photo editing capabilities improved. I think one of the things that is very annoying is, for example, how to crop images. Grammar check and some efforts are going on, in various communities already, and yeah, there were some Google Sum of Code projects around the Grammar Checker, so something's going on there as well. Yeah, better dictionaries, better pivot table support, is especially in business areas, important. This is probably too small to read. It's just a screenshot to show that a lot of data is also an issue tracker on the open source side, where people submit RFEs. From a user point of view, it's what you say, always annoying to see that not all of these RFEs get quickly addressed, or actually many of them do not get quickly addressed. So I think looking back also at the developer survey data, where developers complain about something like a to-do list not being available, one goal would be to create some kind of connection where someone takes the RFEs and not necessarily implements them, because this person might not be able to do it or might not have the resources, but to turn them in the into some kind of to-do list so that people can easily jump onto these issues without having to dig into the issue track and look for things. So quite a few, yeah, you can read, actually I can read there as well, that have been mentioned before in the user survey show up here again. Things like PDF functionality, SVG support, and so on. So next steps from my point of view, with respect to all the surveys and the data, is a deep dive into some of the into the survey data, as I said, especially around the verticals and industries and the adoption of open source. There are probably some very interesting numbers to get out of the database, but yeah, since it has grown so fast, that is a little bit of a challenge. A redesign of the user survey, because the database has grown so quickly, because we had on purpose quite a few open-ended questions where people could just write something down, which filled up the database very quickly and made it very slow. We actually did that on purpose, even knowing that it's hard to analyze the data, but we actually want to hear what people are saying without giving them too many options up front, so we wanted to hear what they really think. But now that will be a challenge to really analyze all that data. Set up of a new developer survey, so we had one ongoing developer survey in the past. I think it would be good to have an ongoing developer survey again as well, because in the old one, which was, again, as I said, ongoing, we had more than 1,600 people participating over time, and I think that is very interesting data as well. Creating off some kind of job description, as I just mentioned, the RFEs in the database and the survey data that we have could be turned into a nice to-do list so that new people coming to the project and who want to develop can easily join the project and pick whatever they find most interesting. And then one thing that which is based on the slide that I showed or earlier with the question if people want to contribute and in what way, finding ways to what I call to move people up the open source loyalty ladder, so that people who are just users become first evangelists, and then they have become evangelists. Maybe they even do something more, like helping with QA, helping with I don't know, anything that contributes to the overall project. Okay, that's all from my side about the survey data. Any questions, comments? Yes.
You're saying quite often that certain questions shouldn't actually be answered, or shouldn't have been answered by certain people. So why not split the survey up into a few different pages, so then the people who shouldn't be answering these questions wouldn't actually be getting shown those questions?
Okay. So I try to repeat the question. The question was, there were quite a few questions which should only be answered by a subset of the overall population, more or less, or only by a subset of the users. So, for example, only those users who are using open source in a business environment. There were many technical reasons with the software that we were using and the process and everything. So Christian Driegau was a key person behind all this from a technology point of view. And we played with different scenarios, and there were quite a few issues. I have to admit, I can't recall them all right now, but it was not that trivial to split it up in a nice way. So one of the reasons was how to keep all the data in one database and everything, and so that you can still run interesting reports. That was one issue. Then the user flow was sometimes a bit complicated, so that's why we try to separate by giving the right statements up front or to give some guidance.
Do you know if well employees had the chance to participate in this survey?
What do you mean by, so the question was, if and how Novell...
Do you know if they have a chance? You said that several Linux distros kind of disable this. So if they use this Novell Linux desktop...
anything based on all the... the resistance dialog is disabled in SUSE, Debian, Ubuntu, some smaller ones.
Yeah.
So
it was just interesting to see you had this business user,
yeah.
So
so
employees, they kind of contributed to this or not?
I guess the survey data was disabled by some distros and others because they didn't feel comfortable about having something that says registration up front when people started up. Even though it didn't go to any, I don't know, evil site or anything, it was meant to collect that data. It probably would make sense to, what do you say, outreach to these people and see how we can, I don't know, get them to support some kind of system as well so that we get more data from the whole open source community and not just the subset, which is the Windows subset or, I don't know.
A related question, so sorry. Did you have a question like, I'm using only OpenOffice? So how many users are using both OpenOffice and the other
program? Okay, the question was if there is a question within the survey that asks, are you only using OpenSwork or are you also using OpenSwork plus something else or something else in addition to OpenSwork? No, we haven't had such a question, but it probably would make sense. One thing that I once did, independent of all these surveys, was some kind of ad hoc Irwin survey, which was I used a online meeting place or business meeting place where new people sign up every day and send them a URL asking them, could you please fill out this survey, which is just two questions. And the question were, what office suite are you using at home? What office suite are you using at work? And I did that in all the participants in that forum were German users, but they came from everywhere, more or less, and from small companies, large companies, just individual people or users. And I think it was quite random, my approach, but it wasn't extremely scientific, so I wouldn't say this was a scientific analysis of the market share, and I'm sure this is valid, but those numbers show that on the end user side, so on the home usage side, there is a market share, or was a market share, somewhere between, somewhere around, I would say, 13%. And on the business side, around 8%. But as I said, and about 350 people participated by this. Actually, participated means that I always contacted the, I think, 20 new subscribers to this online platform and sent them this email because I thought, okay, they are new to all this, they are somewhat random, are not related to OpenOffice, and let's see what they say. So, other questions?
Yes, you have to consider when you have a new company which rolls out 2,000 licenses with activated registration form. And if what not would happen, but if every of these 2,000 new users would register and say they have 2,000 licenses used in the company, then you would count you have 4 million new users.
Yes, sure. That's one of the problems with the survey, and that's what you say. I really showed you the more or less the raw data based on the very basic reports, and it's very easy to misinterpret some of the data. And you brought up a good point that yes, if for example there was a question about the company size, and if there is a company size of 100,000, and just I don't know a few of those. Employees fill out the survey, then it quickly grows to a huge number. So you can't simply add up, oh, there are, 100 people said they are working for companies with 100,000 employees, so I can just multiply them and I know the market says, that doesn't work. No, for sure not.
And the other point is, three or four times a year, a new version comes up. And if those users also fill in the survey every time,
you
will have 16 million.
Yeah. That brings up a good point, because in one survey, the one that we did with the people on the announce list, I asked two questions. How many times have you downloaded OpenOSORC so far, including updates, whatever? So as far as you can recall, I mean, sometimes you just don't remember. So it was just an estimation. And we also asked, okay, and how many machines have deployed your download? And so people said they actually have downloaded OpenOSORC back then, which was 2004, six times on average. But fortunately, they also said that they installed it on nine machines on average. So that means that the ratio is somewhere around 1.5, so per download that we track. Again, not very scientific. You have to be careful about all this data, but it gives some indication.
I think a good point would be the new online update function, which will be integrated in the new versions. With that, you could make an honest count how much people download the update, and then you will see how much active users are out there.
That's, as far as I know, actually also the way how the people, the Firefox people, are, for example, counting how many people are using the software. Okay, so I guess let's see. Yes, sure. Currently not that many, so we have to, what should I say, so far it was mainly Christian and me, but we definitely, especially for the next release where of the server, where especially want to get more localizations available so that we get better data, especially from countries where English is not spoken that much, so it should become more of a larger community effort, and most likely that has to be done via the native language projects.
So, I mean, I have some suggestions in that what you could, if some of it can be automated at the end of the day when surveys are filled out, that information just gets populated. Just so the survey, there's a set of questions that you could just automatically go to a web page and just look at. And also, I've met a bunch of people that at university that are working on research projects. And certainly they've approached me about some of the code and the data that we have, but it's possible that, you know, there's a whole bunch of students out there that are doing research, interested in open source, and they may be able to take all of this content and produce a paper that they publish that will tell you more about the community and what's in there, and that, you know, given that they're actually researching this kind of information, they actually do a really great report on this. So it's just some suggestions.
So I don't know, since this camera is recording, I wasn't sure if the sound will look okay from back there. To try to summarize what you just said, I think that were great ideas since it was mainly Christian Dre and me working on surveys so far, at least on the last versions, to put up this idea on some kind of to-do list or a list where people can easily find this item and join the project or this initiative. The other thing was to provide reports that people can just click on and get all the data that I just showed. And the third one was
engaging
with research students, yes. And regarding the reports, we thought about that, we did something like that. Unfortunately, the software was not that flexible, so we might even have to look for a different kind of software to do the next release of the survey. But one of the problems has become that the database grew so quickly and became so large that it's very tough to get the data currently out. So we have to be creative to get some of the information out there from the current data. But I think that someone else is now in this room. I have to make this space available. So thank you, everybody, for coming here. And you can ask more questions, offline when I'm